Blog Talk Radio
presents a Blog Radio Show. Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and I'm back. I feel better today, and I apologize for last night. I had a little breathing issue. But anyway, two amazing days with fantastic guests. Last night, Dale Bozio from Missing Persons, and tonight, the pleasure is all mine, is Mr. Glenn Scarpelli, most famously known, obviously, for One Day at a Time, but he's done so, so much more. So without further ado, I would like to welcome to the show Mr. Glenn Scarpelli. How are you, sir?
Hey, Joanne. Thank you so much for inviting me. It means so much to me. And it's a pleasure to be here. I'm so happy to talk.
Glenn, you sound exactly the same as you did when you were younger.
I got to tell you something. That is not the first time I've heard that.
It's so funny. I wasn't anticipating that. But anyway, no, I'm actually thrilled that you're here tonight, and I can't thank you enough for being with me tonight. And I'm excited to talk to you about a lot of things. Your Arizona, your Sedona. I mean, I just love it. I've been to Sedona. I've done the Verde train, and oh my God, we're going to talk about that. So now,
wow. Cool.
Yeah, let me ask you, now, you originally started in Broadway, I believe, right? And how old were you when you did your first role on Broadway?
I did my Broadway debut at the age of 9 in the Broadway production of Golda, starring Anne Bancroft. And it was, of course, the life story of Golda Meir. And it was quite the experience. You know, Anne Bancroft was such a huge influence on everything I became in my life. You know, she taught me about, oh my gosh. I mean, she was, one of the greats, let's put it that way. Not only on stage, but off stage too, Joanne. Like, she was down to earth and kind and loving and wonderful. And
she,
of course,
seems
married
like that.
To Mel Brooks.
Yep. Two crazy people.
Two crazy people, exactly. And I gotta tell you, in a lot of ways, she was funnier than him. I mean, that's how funny she was.
Did you see her in The Prisoner on Second Ave?
Oh, my gosh.
Where
are
you
going to
get the water? Where are you going to get the water? My favorite line.
Me too. I live for that line. I can't even believe you just said that. That is one of my favorite lines of all time.
Me too. It's one of my favorite movies, believe it or not. I absolutely love her to death. And like you said, I can only imagine offstage she was probably even more funny and crazy and just a wonderful person to know. So she had a major influence on you, huh? Any tips that she gave you or any advice that stuck with you all these years?
You know, really, her biggest advice to me was – about being in the moment on stage. And that's what she actually loved the most about doing theater is, staying in that moment. Like, when you're on stage and you're in front of that audience, nothing else matters.
Right.
And it's honestly a life lesson that I try to carry to this day, because so much of our lives are, filled with distractions, if you will. And these days especially, it's so easy to be distracted by drama and the world and our families and, relationships and work. And, it's so easy. But staying in the moment when you literally, what all that matters is what's in your reach at that moment, is mental health. I mean, it really adds to our mental health. So that skill that she brought to my attention as a youngster was something that I gained awareness. And I believe it's helped me. I believe it's helped me in my life in you know, many, many ways.
Yeah. Now, oh, my God, at the age of nine to work with Anne Bancroft and then to work on Gold of My Ears, life story, just amazing. I mean, my goodness, did you realize at that time what you were doing? Like, wow, Anne Bancroft? I mean, did you know it was her? And
So to back up just a moment, I begged my parents from the age of five to be in show business. So I
was
going to
ask you, what turned you on to show business? Tell me about that, too.
Well,
yeah.
I stepped foot on a stage in kindergarten, in a kindergarten play, and I stepped foot on stage, and I was like, I'm home. So I just loved it, you know, and I just felt a calling, truly, at such a young age as to what I came into this world to, how to express myself. So I begged and begged. It took about 3 years to wear my folks down. My mom finally gave in at about the age of eight. And I started doing commercials and such. But I share that with you because, I wasn't one of those kids that was forced into it. So I was very aware of show business. I loved old movies. I loved old music. Mm-hmm. I watched MGM musicals. And I was a very big film buff. So did I know how impressive it was to be on Broadway with Anne Bancroft? Yeah, I really did. I mean, as best as a 9 year old could, but pretty damn good for a 9 year old. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, yeah. You're telling the truth on that. My God, you worked with a legend, and what a story as well to work on. I mean, just
can
phenomenal.
I share one bit of wisdom that Golda Meir?
You could share everything you want.
Yeah, you're the best. Well, I want to share this because it's one of those moments that stuck with me also for the rest of my life. And Golda was very much around for the development of the play. She was very involved in the development of the play. So I got to know Golda Meir pretty well.
No kidding.
We would go out to lunch, and she loved being with the kids. I played her son, who at that point was, of course, an adult. And so it was kind of fun for her to be around her son and daughter again. So I think she took to the kids really, really beautifully.
Right.
Felt like grandma kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she said to me once, and I'll share this line with you, and I'm not the only person in the world she's ever said it. She's been quoted to say this to several folks. It's one of the things, but it was a piece of wisdom that she did say to me, and I literally carried it through my life. She said to me, be the person you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Wow.
And I let that sink in there for a second because it's so profound.
Yeah.
You know, to be full and fulfilled yourself.
And you know what?
No one else has to complete you.
Right. And you know what, Glenn? She may have said it to a lot of people, but guess what? She said it to you. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
Gold in my ear. Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
It's
I had no
cool.
idea.
So I carry that to this day.
Yeah.
And, you know, through my life, I would hear those words, and I thought about it through, like, a 20-year-old filter and a 30-year-old filter and a 40-year-old filter. And now here I am at 55, still embracing that as part of my life's journey to learn how to do that. It's not something we're taught.
Yeah, it's a great mantra to live by.
Yeah.
That. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So those were my two favorite Golda stories.
That's so cool. And you're actually a Staten Island boy, so going into Broadway was not a big deal for you. So you must have been over in New York, like, constantly going to check out shows all the time.
Yeah. I was, you know, I'm a New Yorker, so my mom still lives on Staten Island. And,
really?
I go back in the same house I grew up in. Yep.
No kidding.
No kidding. So she loves it. She's like, she just loves it. So I go back quite a bit, you know, but I was a big Broadway fan, of course.
Yeah.
I did. I'll share with you my first Broadway show story, and it's so fun because it involves Ethel Merman.
Oh, wow.
So, I know. I'm old. Okay?
There's no business like show business. Have I had it a citizen? I love that song.
Exactly.
I love all the old stuff too, hon. I love all the old stuff too.
I love it too. So I did a pilot for CBS. I had a very small part on this pilot that starred Ethel Merman. Yes. And it was called, originally it was called Everything's Coming Up Roses, and they changed the name to You're Gonna Love It Here. And one day we were rehearsing, and it was four kids playing poker with her was the scene. And she just happened to start talking, and she said, "So, kid, did you ever see a Broadway show?" And I said, "No, Miss Merman, I haven't." She goes, "Where's your mother?" And I said, "She's up in the stands." So she wasn't there. She goes, "Your son's never seen a Broadway show. Tonight, he's going to see his first Broadway show. It's on me. Whatever he wants." And Ethel Merman treated me to my first Broadway show, so that's pretty darn cool.
Damn, man, you really have done it all. You really have. I mean, and between Broadway and then you went into TV. Well, you started with the commercials, obviously, but and then to get a role in One Day at a Time. I mean, it's one of the top shows at the time. And I have to ask you though, what made you leave when they were at the height of the show to go to a show that was not guaranteed success when you went to Jennifer Slept Here?
Well, that's a good question. I get that question often because it does seem like a weird way to go, except for the fact that we were aware that that season was the final season of One Day at a Time.
Oh,
and
yeah, gotcha.
The producers had only – I was in every episode up to that point, and they were trying to wrap up the characters in that final season, and they only offered me 6 episodes of One Day at a Time. So I knew it was coming to a close. I knew it was coming to a wrap. Yeah, the show kind of left on a high note as far as viewership and audience.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it was still very popular, and everyone loved Valerie. And, like, you know, she was married to Eddie Van Halen at the time. So it was, like, really all just still popping. But the show was coming to a close. So I did take the offer at NBC, which I have no regrets. I loved doing Jennifer Slept Here, working with Ann Gillian. She and I are still friends. In fact, my boyfriend and I just went to breakfast with her just a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I love
and
her.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She's doing great. And then I also got to, because of that whole deal, once NBC brought me and wooed me over to their network, they put me on a daytime show. For one summer before Jennifer Slept Here started, called Fantasy, which was hosted by Peter Marshall and Leslie Uggams.
Oh, my God.
I got that. Yes,
I
got to work with both of them for an entire summer, co-hosting the show with the three of us. And I'm, to this day, such close friends with both Peter and Leslie. I see them all the time. Leslie lives on the Upper West Side in New York, so every time I'm in New York, she and I go to dinner.
Oh,
and
nice.
Peter is 95 years old. He overcame COVID at 94.
God bless him.
Believe it or not.
God bless him.
God bless him. And we went to see Johnny and I went to visit Peter just a couple of months ago also. And he's amazing and sharp as a tack and doing fantastic. And so all of that came from making that move. I also got invited to sing on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade on NBC.
I remember that.
Do you really?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, of course I do. I'm only 2 years older than you.
Wow, Joanne.
I grew up with the same culture
that.
As you. I used to grow up with the same culture as you, with the pop culture, and I was always fascinated by the black and white, and the silent movies, you know, I mean, and the classics.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's just crazy. And I always wonder if these young celebrities today realize that they are the next Burt Lancasters and Tony Curtises of like 20, 30 years from now, but they don't have that stature or that talent that it's just not there anymore. You know, it's gone.
Well, you know,
it's
changed so much, Joanne. And I think it's because the culture, and this is something else I learned from both Anne Bancroft, and I worked with Al Pacino on Broadway, and Richard III I did with him on Broadway. And one of the things I learned from both of them was when you are an actor, acting is a performing art, and it's of the arts. And never seek fame. They said it's not ever about becoming famous. It's becoming the best actor you can possibly be. And just become the best at your craft. So both of them were craftspeople, if you will, craftsmen. I say men, but of course, ladies, craft people. Who cared about their art, who cared about being the best they could be at the art of acting. And now today's culture is all about seeking fame.
Right.
So I think that's a really big difference in the psychology and the consciousness of us as a society. And I think that's one of the things that is lacking from today's
Sadly, becoming famous is like a dime a dozen now with the internet. So, and you know, you get your 15 minutes and, you know, where back in the day, you had to work hard for it to get it. And to keep it, you had to work even harder, you know, so.
The club was so much smaller.
Yeah. And it's so sad that we've lost so many. You know what, Glenn, I was actually considering not going to continue the show because everybody that I would have liked to have had on the show has gone and left us. I was this close. Dawn Wells was to join me. She passed away a week before she was supposed to come on, and that would have been a thrill for me. I mean, 'cause, you know, not only am I the creator and host of the show, but I'm also a fan, which makes it great for me. And honestly, talking to you guys and getting to hang out with all you folks, it's like a bucket list for me. I'm putting another dent in my bucket list, which is amazing. I never thought I'd be sitting here today speaking with you. That's for sure.
I love it. And what makes your show so wonderful is that you are so emotionally involved, that you are a fan, that you actually get the conversations that you're going
absolutely
for.
absolutely
yep.
And every show is basically we're just hanging out. It's like you and I said, let's get together and have a drink and sit down and just chat, you know. So that's it. I've got no bells and whistles. It's just you and me and hanging out and having a good time and our listeners listening, and they know they can call in at 646-478-0999 at any time. Plug. But
I love it.
You know, but people don't like to talk anymore. It's crazy. They'd rather type it. I don't understand. But anyway, let's get back to you. So a Staten Island guy and you come back. How cool is that? I love that. I have a lot of, I don't have a lot of friends there anymore. Well, I had a very good friend who just recently passed away. So I haven't been there in quite some time. I used to go visit her once a month. And sadly, she just recently passed away. But I go out to the island on occasion. So what else did I want to ask you?
Where am I talking to you? Are you on Long Island? Where are you right now?
No, I'm in Jersey.
Oh, you're
in
Jersey.
Can't you tell I'm in Jersey by my voice, by my accent? Come on.
Come on. What are we talking about?
What are you talking about?
New York and New Jersey accents are so, I mean, Staten Island might as well be Jersey. Hello?
Exactly. Right. It's literally a hop.
We were going to be Jersey at one point. They were trying to become Jersey.
Oh, I remember that. Yep. I remember that. Yeah. Well, obviously, you're from Staten Island, and being in the entertainment industry, you wound up in L.A., and how did you wind up in Arizona, and specifically Sedona, which is what my sister, who lives in Arizona, told me, if you ever come to see me, I found heaven on earth. If there is a heaven on earth, it's Sedona, Arizona. And when I went there, she was absolutely right. It is absolutely gorgeous. And so how did Arizona come to be your resting place, that's where you reside now?
Well, I'll give you the abridged version because I know your show is not as long as the story. I left acting, you know, when I was about 19 years old, riding high, being offered a whole bunch of stuff, but I knew I was gay. And I wanted to be authentic to myself. And in those days, 1985, 86, you know, the industry did not allow people to be
no.
gay. Like,
no. Well, in life
gay.
In general, it was quiet, you know.
Yeah, it was all yeah. about the closet. And the closet was a very lonely place that I chose
right.
not to be in. So
right.
I chose love over career. And to make a long story short, I fell in love with this wonderful man, Gary Scalzo was his name. And he passed away at the age of 36 years old to HIV/AIDS.
Oh. I'm so sorry.
And I buried my husband, 25. He was 36.
Oh, no.
I say husband, but of course, you know, we weren't allowed to legally be married back then. But
in a gay relationship, it's marriage if you've been together for quite some time, whether it's
yes.
legal or not.
And that's right. And so after that, I went on a spiritual walkabout because, you know, I had left everything. I gave up all this wonderful momentum to be with him. And then, you
right.
know, he was gone. So I went through a lot of emotional turmoil, to be honest with
right.
you, Joanne. I was angry at God. I was angry at life. I gave up everything, and now he was taken away. I felt cheated and so
right.
on and so forth. So I went on a walkabout, and I said, okay, God, show me what this thing called life is about because I don't get it. Like, I do not get it. And I, you know, over another bottle of wine another time, I'll share with you all my endeavors, but I lived in Belize, Central America for a little while. I lived off the land. Like, I unplugged and I ran away.
Wow.
And I learned so much. And inevitably, I got on a spiritual path because I just felt so incredibly protected and loved. I mean, that was the bottom line, is that I felt
right.
this. I became aware of this deep love for myself. And
right.
I knew I was not laying next to him because I was here to... you know, there was purpose for my life.
Right.
So one thing led to another, and a friend of mine had moved to Sedona, so I went to visit her. And I got there. I was 30 seconds. I passed Bell Rock. I don't know if you remember Bell Rock. It's kind of an entrance of Sedona. And
yeah.
I was passing it, and I got chills from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. And I said, oh, my gosh, I just came home. And that was 28 years ago.
It's gorgeous.
So that's the abridged version of how I found Sedona. Once I got there, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was back and forth to L.A. still quite a bit in the beginning.
Mm.
And then there was this opportunity to start a TV station. I had an idea to start a TV station, and this opportunity
right.
arose. And I started it. And now on May 4th of this year, 2022, we will be 20 years old.
Wow. Congrats.
Thank you. I've never had a job for 20 years before. It's a
well,
big
not
deal
in this
for an actor.
Not in the entertainment industry. Not in the entertainment industry. You won't have a job for 20 years. The same job.
Exactly. Unbelievable. And here we are doing my thing. And I just love my life. Like, I just
That's
really
great.
Created the life that was best for me, you know?
Right.
I found my zone. I love Sedona. As you said, it really is beautiful and very magical on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
Magical
yeah.
things happen in Sedona. They do if you
yeah.
go with the flow.
Yeah.
And I still have my life in L.A. My boyfriend, Johnny, you know, he a game show producer, which we have to talk about Hollywood Museum Square.
Oh, absolutely. We're getting there. We're getting there. Harlan
getting
will
there.
Kill
I know,
me if I don't.
Exactly. But Johnny, who is the executive producer of that show, he's my boyfriend. He lives in L.A. I live in Sedona. We're back and forth quite a bit now. So I have my dose. You know, I'm still really close friends with Mackenzie Phillips. I have
oh,
a
whole, wow.
you know, life out here, too. I'm talking to you from L.A. right now. And I have a whole family support team. Like, it's not like I'm coming to a new place. I'm coming home again.
Nice.
So I always considered like the three places that I call home when I land are New York, Los Angeles,
right.
and Sedona.
Well, I'm so glad you found your happy, honey. I'm so glad you found
thank
your happy.
Because you.
we all
you,
need to
you.
Find our happy. We all need to find our happy. And then, like you said, you're whole. When you get that happy, you're whole. So
that's
so now
right.
the TV
right.
the TV. The TV station, it's the Sedona Now Network, and I've only seen the Traveler TV show. Do you do other things,
uh-huh.
or just what else do you do?
Well, the station itself is on in Sedona, and you know the way I got, once I got the station, I'm like, oh no, now what am I going to do with it? So
right.
I had taken my niece and nephew to Disneyland, and I checked into the Disneyland hotel, and there was this TV station that was looping all the things to see and do in Disneyland.
Yep.
And you know, at Sedona, the name, I mean, 78% of our revenue in Sedona is strictly tourism. Like, it is the only economic generator in Sedona. So I knew I had to appeal to tourism. And so that's what my station is. You go to the hotels, you click on the television, 24 hours a day, you could see all the ways to spend your money in Sedona, Arizona.
How cool is that? Yeah, and there are some really cool shops there. I mean, really eclectic, really neat, cool stuff. So I love that place. I saw
I'm so
there.
Glad.
Yeah, when I was there, I saw a wine rack made out of a guitar, and it was the coolest thing. I had never seen it before, and I said, I got to get it. And I'm like, how am I going to get it home, you know, on the plane and shit.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, man, maybe I can make one day. But I don't know if it was a special art piece, because there's so much art out there as well that is for sale. So I didn't know
if
it was special.
We are an art community. We really are.
Yeah.
That's what really drew me to it, is there's so many creative, wonderful minds in Sedona. The consciousness of Sedona is awake. You know what I mean? Like, so that's what I really dig about living there. And the whole creative vibe is everyone's either writing music or writing books or creating art, and or owns an art gallery. Like, two of my dearest friends, or several of my dearest friends actually, all own art galleries. That's what they do for a living. So that part's fantastic. You know, so I promote all those businesses. And then I also have Traveler TV. You mentioned that. Thank you so much for checking that out. That is on Scripps stations around the country. And I promote, you know, fun things to see and do in the Arizona area. And I'm going to start promoting things also in other states. So, you know, the show is seen, those segments are seen on morning shows, on Scripps stations. And that's a new thing that happened. It's all started about 4 years ago for me. And it's a way that I grew my business. And I'm just so thrilled to be a part of that.
Well, good for you. That's fabulous. And the Verde Canyon, how often do you go, the canyon train, the railroad, I'm sorry, how often do you take that? I think I saw you on Facebook. You recently did that for someone's birthday or anniversary, or was it your anniversary?
Christmas Eve. Okay, so
Christmas Eve.
I was just going to say, that was one of my favorite things we did. Okay, so my mom came out from Staten Island. Johnny's mom came out, Barbara, her name is. Came out from Rhode Island, and who did we have with us but the incredible Anson Williams from Happy Days, who's a dear friend.
I love
and
Anson.
He was
he's
also
been on the show. Yeah, he's been here.
I'm so glad. He was also on Hollywood Museum Squares.
Yeah,
of course we have that in common. But I've known him for quite a while, and so he and his girlfriend came out for Christmas, and we all Christmas Eve they have a Christmas train, and we all got the caboose, which was a private car.
Nice.
And you take the train through the Red Rocks and wind up at the North Pole. And it was so magical. Oh, my gosh. We had the greatest time. We want to make it a tradition every Christmas Eve.
That sounds great. That sounds
so
man,
fun.
They must have did it up so nice when you got to the destination of the North Pole.
Yes, and then Santa and Mrs. Claus jump on the train. And they give you goodies, and you take pictures, and it's so much fun. So the Verde Canyon Railroad is what that's called. And I'm a huge fan. And I'm like, if you come out to Sedona, I recommend that to everyone. It's such a fun experience. It really is.
I recommend it, too. It was a great time for me. I didn't do it on Christmas Eve, but, I mean, it's such a beautiful – the sights are gorgeous. It's an antique train, and it's so nice. It really is. It's just gorgeous. And
I'm so glad you enjoyed it, Joanne.
Yeah, I saw my first
– not only on Christmas. It's all year round, of course.
Right. I saw my first bald eagle on that ride.
Wow, yes, it's amazing. The bald eagles live in the Verde Canyon.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous, and they give birth there, and they have nests, and it's unbelievable.
It is. It's absolutely beautiful. And folks, if you haven't been out there, you've really got to check it out. And if you don't go just to check it out, you got to go to watch the Traveler TV loop that's playing that Glenn is on. So you got to watch that, or
yay,
just go online and check it out, right?
Yes, yeah, SedonaNow.com. Sedona Now is the name of my station, the local station in Sedona. So anyone wants to check it out, you can watch the whole program right there at SedonaNow.com.
I have to be honest with you. I'm surprised my crazy sister hasn't called, since she knows I'm talking about Sedona, because she's out in Arizona now, and usually when we talk about a topic or something that she likes, she calls in. So I'm surprised she hasn't called. I'm really surprised.
Well, maybe
she
hasn't I'll bump
called.
Into her.
Oh,
maybe
you don't want
to
bump
into
her.
One of these days.
You don't want to bump into her. She's nuts. No, I'm kidding. She just. They call her Chatty Patty for a reason, honey. She does not shut up. She does not shut up. So, well,
East Coasters, that's what we do.
Yeah, exactly. It must be an East Coast thing. We can't shut up. But now, let's get to the Hollywood Squares at the Hollywood Museum. That is a place I'm dying to go. I'm supposed to meet my good friend Judy Tenuta out there, and we're supposed to do it up over at the museum and go out and have a good time. But with this pandemic, I haven't, and some health issues, I haven't left the house. I'm not leaving. I'm not getting on a plane right now, whatever. But I cannot wait to get to the Hollywood Museum. It looks, it sounds like the greatest place on earth other than Disney. And so now tell us about, I did want to ask you, were you ever on the actual Hollywood Squares?
I was never on the original Hollywood Squares. No, Valerie was on, Mackenzie was on. You know, by the time I got on One Day at a Time, it was starting, I don't think it was pretty much getting off the air. This is the original one I'm talking about with Peter Marshall.
Yeah.
And then I wound up working with Peter Marshall on Fantasy, like I was talking about. So he had definitely been off Hollywood Squares at that point. So no, I never got to do the original one. I wish.
But you did now, and so tell us about your experience with that. I mean, that must have been pretty cool. Who was on your show when you did it, too? Who was on the panel?
Well, Mark Summers was the host, who was absolutely fantastic. I absolutely love him. Who else? Dee Wallace we had, Elaine Ballas.
I love Dee.
I know. She's so wonderful.
Isn't she?
So wonderful.
Consider your ass
kissed.
Yes,
indeed.
For her to say that to me, when she signed off on the show, she goes, Joanne, consider your ass kissed. I said, I wouldn't want anybody in the world to tell me that other than you, darling. So.
I love it. Erin
Rich. I thought I lost you.
Did you lose me? Are you there? I'm there.
Nope,
I'm here.
We're here.
We're back.
Mm.
Okay. So Erin Murphy from who played Tabitha, of course.
Tabitha.
My dear friend Erin Murphy was on the show. Who else was on that show? Wesley Ewer, Will Schreiner. Anderson was our step. Lonnie Anderson was our center square.
Wow.
And
wow.
Jeremy Miller, who I also love. We've been friends, Jeremy and I, for a very long time. So anyway, the show was fantastic. The big, you know, you were waxing poetic about the museum. Let me also put my two cents in that it is an incredible museum. If you are a Hollywood buff and you are a fan of Hollywood, everyone needs to see the Hollywood Museum. The
Absolutely.
Amount of memorabilia and specialty items and things that you will never see anywhere else, little jewel, truly a jewel. And, you know, during the pandemic, it got hit pretty hard, as most public arenas did. And we all came together to really help. You know, it was closed for so long, and they weren't allowing a whole bunch of people in. And a place like that gets hit pretty hard. So, you know, the Hollywood Museum Squares was put together as a charity event. And we all came together to really help save the Hollywood Museum. And I know it's played a role. They still need help. But it is back up and running and totally open. So we're so thrilled to see that going. But you could still, folks out there that are listening that want to watch the Hollywood Museum, I'm sure you'll tell them exactly how they can
check out the Hollywood Museum Squares. It is online. It is a charity event. It's, you know, one of them. It was so much fun to do. It was done. Everybody was in their own homes all over the country. Our directors, Bob Loudon and Steve Grant, who are dear friends of mine, I've known them since I was 16 years old, were in their house in Studio City, California. And then my boyfriend, John, who wasn't my boyfriend at the time, we actually
met. No kidding. I was gonna ask if you met doing the show.
For everybody else, it was Hollywood Museum Squares, but for me, it was Love Connection.
Great. Perfect, Glenn. That's perfect.
I'm glad you get my references, Joanne. Thank you. Thank you for getting my references.
Oh, but the reason they did, not only did they do it to save, you know, to help the museum, but it was also the 75th anniversary of the game show, I believe. Is that the reason they did that?
Yes, it was. And, you know, they really wanted to have Peter host. He really wanted to. He then got COVID. So Peter did do a PSA that you could see during it. He's unbelievable. He did it as a voiceover and really, really just to support the museum and the Max Factor building, which houses the museum and everything that comes along with all of that. But John Ritchie Jr. is my beau. And we didn't meet physically. You know, that was still during the pandemic that we shot that. So we didn't physically meet for months later, but it was our initial, you know, hey, I'm Glenn. Hi, I'm John, that kind of thing.
Right.
And a wonderful friendship started at first. And then months later, when I was able to actually start moving around a bit, I came out to L.A., and the rest is history, as they say.
As they say. Wonderful, beautiful. What a great chance meeting, and you had a great time doing it. And I, like I said, I can't wait to get out there to see it myself. I mean, a lot of the guests that I've had on are pretty much staples over there. They go there for all the events. Like you said, Anson, you know Judy, right? Judy Tenuta?
Yes, and Johnny knows Judy very well, too. He knows, everybody because he works in game shows, but he produced this. But he knows everybody. Jay Johnson.
That's
on
another
the show.
One,
Allison Arngrim, I love. She's one of my dearest friends. Mm-hmm. I know Rich Little was on the show, Bruce Belanche. I mean, it was so incredible to be a part of this event. I call it an event because it really was an event.
Right. And it's funny, every name you're mentioning has been on this show.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's
well, with
wonderful.
The exception with the exception of a few, I'm trying to get them on. Like I reached out to Lonnie's folks, and they said she has nothing going on right now to talk about. I said, let's just talk. We don't have to talk about anything in specific, you know, in particular.
Yeah. You know? And the Hollywood Museum Squares, that's something to talk about.
There you go. But yeah, folks, you can go and check this out. You can check out the trailer. There's a teaser out there on YouTube that you could watch. Just go to, Hollywood Museum, Hollywood Squares, and you can check out the teaser. But you could actually get tickets, as Glenn said. It is a fundraiser, so I think that it's only and it's cheap. I think it's like $10. There's five shows.
It's well worth
$10.
It. Yes.
Yeah. And it's $10
really
a show.
We really want to encourage everyone to be able to just, you know, enjoy this, you know, not make it out of reach and have it in a way that you know, everybody can enjoy. John Davidson was one of the hosts, Tom Bergeron, Mark Summers, like I mentioned, Pat Penn, and Bruce Valanche. They all hosted a segment each, special greeting from Peter Marshall, which was so wonderful. Stevens was the voice, which of course, the announcer of the show, which was the legendary voice of the version that he did with John Davidson. So that was really special.
Well, I have to ask you,
also
speaking
the top of America's Top 40.
Speaking of Bruce Valanche, now I know he used to write a lot of the stuff for the original show. Did you guys have stuff written for you, or you did your own answers?
Well, there was some writing that occurred.
There was some writing involved.
They introduced it.
Joanne, I'm introducing you to my boyfriend, Johnny. He's walking by. Say hi to Joanne.
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Hey, Johnny. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Listen, thanks for making Glenn happy. He deserves it, and so do you. I'm so glad you
both are so happy. I get the benefit, too. Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
The reason I pulled him over,
she's asking me if Bruce Valanche might have written anything, but really, you were the genius, John, behind most of the writing of this show, correct?
Yeah, Bruce contributed a little bit, but we did so many. We didn't anticipate of doing five. We anticipated doing three, we ended up rounding up doing five, so there was much more that had to be written, and I just didn't want to impose on him. I mean, we were already leaning on him to be in it and also host it, so I didn't want to impose more. So, he did contribute as well.
Well, Johnny, are you becoming the Bruce Valanche of the game shows, of the writing for game shows? For the new generation?
I can't grow a beard like that. I can't grow a beard like that. So I think he's got me there.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, God, what did I want to ask you, Johnny? I did have something. I lost my train of thought. I don't write questions down, so I'm just going with what we were talking about.
Can I jump in and let him tell one story that's really funny?
Absolutely.
So
we have all night.
He gets a phone call from Harlan saying, Rich Little wants to talk to you directly. Is that okay? And now I'm going to pass the phone over.
So, yeah.
Go ahead.
What I wanted Rich to be the center square in one of them, but I wanted him to be Paul Lind in the first act,
and then he'd be
Rich at the end. So he didn't quite understand what I needed. So Harlan, called me and said, Rich doesn't do too, good with emails. Can he call you? And I said, yeah, I think Rich Little can call me. I'm okay with that. So he called me, got me on the phone, and he went through all the questions. He gave me a great joke that we ended up using, which was much better than mine for Paul Lind. And he went through all the impressions, and he was doing Rich Little. He was doing Richard Nixon and Schwarzenegger on the phone. And he's doing his whole act over the phone with me, and I was just tickled to death. He could not have been more gracious and put time into – I mean, he really gave it his all. Everybody did. All the stars did. But that made me feel good of people that, I really kind of idolized that just really went all in for us.
Nice, nice. Now, Johnny, how long have you been in the game of game shows? Not to do a play on words.
Probably
going to
be a good 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what game shows have you worked on?
Say again?
What game shows have you produced or worked on?
I produce and judge the $100,000 Pyramid with Michael Strahan.
Great.
We're
going to
be
going back for
another season in a couple of weeks. I'm going to start another season of 25 Words or Less with Meredith Vieira. We're going to do another season of that. And we just did a pilot for Tic-Tac-Doe with Tom Bergeron. We're waiting to see if that will get on the air. We're excited about that. And
cool.
I did the College Bowl with Peyton Manning, and there's a lot, coming up. So there's a lot of great games, and I worked at one point for Fremantle and did the Live Price is Right and Family Feud and all that stuff. So I've been out here I think a good 14-15 years, something like that. So and a good 20 just, working in the business.
And where are you originally from, John?
Rhode Island.
Oh, so
that's
what
we
right.
Have going.
That's right. Glenn said that. Glenn said that earlier. Yes, my bad.
You were talking about when your mother came to visit for Christmas. Because she's been on the Verde Canyon Railroad.
Oh, okay,
Joanne.
Cool.
Yeah,
but I didn't get to go to I didn't get to go to the North Pole, and I didn't get to do it with you guys.
Well, maybe next time if you get a chance. It is so much fun. If you just lean into it and just pretend, become a kid again. It's just so much fun. I first of all, I just love trains, so I was in my glory.
Yeah, I loved it. It was just beautiful ride. I mean, the scenery and just everything about it was just fabulous. It really was. It really was. And I'm a huge Sedona fan.
Can I jump in here, though? Because Johnny made reference to the joke that Rich Little had thrown in that was better than his. I want John to tell that joke. Because this is a good opportunity for you to get a sense of what the Hollywood Museum Squares is like. Okay, so here we go. Rich Little as Paul Lind.
Okay, so I gave him my question, and he said to me, I do a couple in my act. Can I hit you with one? I said, go ahead. So the question is, can blind people skydive? And Paul Lynn says, oh, good God, no, it scares the hell out of the dog.
Is that yours or that was Rich's?
Rich does a much better impression than I do.
But was that your joke or Rich's?
That's Rich's. That was Rich's joke.
Oh,
and I went,
so
the
funny.
Minute I heard it, I laughed just like you did. And I said, yep, that's the one. And it went.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was hysterical. And I can picture him doing that Paul Lynn, too.
Yes, for all your listeners out there that might want to check out Hollywood Museum Square, those are the zingers that you'll hear. It's a very funny show, just like the original was.
Well, who real quick, who were the contestants, guys?
So Harlan got a bunch of contestants online and just said, you know, who they wanted to, play.
Nice.
And
So
we ended up, you know, it was one of those, we didn't tell them, but was they all ended up winning the prize at the end because it was just for fun. And, it was a charity event. So we gave it, you know, all of them the prize, but, it was just, enter and we randomly picked a bunch of people and that's who got to play.
Very nice. I definitely have to check it out. I have not, and I have to, you know what? I'm definitely going to get the one that you're on, Glenn. I have to see that one, and I'm going to see the other ones because it's not, like you said, show one has all Donna Mills, Barry Livingston. Oh, Judy's on that one. I didn't know that. I'll have to definitely see that
Judy's
one.
Judy's on Gilbert. That one, yep. We got Jim J. Bullock, who is the staple of the John Davidson Squares, and John did a fantastic job. You know, he hadn't done this, you know, since the late 80s. Jumped right back into it. Tom is a pro. Mark Summers, again, great game show host as well as Pat Finn. And then Bruce Verland, at the last minute, we had we threw him in there and could not have been better and ran. Because, you know, being a game show host is not an easy task. And it's a muscle that, you know, if you don't have it, it's really hard. But I was very impressed with him that he jumped in and did a fantastic job. And the other guys, you just knew they could deliver. So it was a lot of work and so much fun.
I'm kicking myself that I didn't watch it first before I had you on, Glenn, because I would because you guys must have had such a ball. It must have been a blast. You guys must have had too bad it was, you know, on video instead of in person, but you guys must have had a blast doing it.
Yes. What I will say is, even though everyone was on their, Zoom, they were seeing what you see when you do watch the show.
On TV.
They were all seeing everything. So
like
they
it looked
all
like
joked
the real...
with each other. They felt like they were in the same room, and they all, you know, did one-liners back and forth to each other. So it really is close as you're going to getting them all in the studio.
Right, because it looks exactly like the setup of the actual show. It's a tic-tac-toe, but instead of sitting in the actual seat, you guys were sitting on the Zoom in the spots in the square.
Exactly.
So,
and if I give one more shout-out to my friend Dustin James, who did all that amazing 3D work for the set, and that's how that looks so great. All those classic cars and all the set looked fantastic due to him. So I want to also give him credit.
Nice.
And also,
also
should we give Jason and Lewis contributed to the content, right?
Yeah, my friend Jason Antonovich, who we'll put that in an email because that's a difficult name to spell, and Lewis Vertel, who also is a writer on Jimmy Kimmel, helped out as well.
Oh, really?
Because
there
was a lot of material that needed to be had.
Nice. Well, before I end the show, I'll let everybody know where they can watch it again. It's they can get their tickets at www.stellartickets.com/0/O/the-Hollywood-Museum for the Hollywood Squares. There was 5 episodes and great, great guests being in the squares. And you guys, I mean, I can only imagine how much of a good time you had, so I can't wait to see it. And I'm definitely going to get yours. I think I got to get them all because it's like everybody here that is in this has been on this show just about. I can't believe it, and it's fabulous. It's fabulous. But
That's so wonderful. Joanne, I know we're going to wrap this up, but let me just say one thing that ties this all together now that I have Johnny standing here too. The first thing, John, that when I got on the show today with Joanne, the first thing she says is, oh, my God, you sound just like you sounded when you were a kid. When John got on Zoom with me that day, that's the first thing he said to me, too, Joanne.
Now, see, if I was there, you and me would have hooked up. Because that's what you,
hey,
you
I got
fell
there
for that. You fell for that line, see? I'm kidding.
He fell for it twice.
You're not going to – do you need to run, Glenn, or no?
Yeah, well, my wonderful Italian boyfriend has cooked me dinner, just FYI.
Can you guys give me 5 minutes? Because I have a quick surprise I'd love to do real quick. Can you give me 5 minutes?
Totally.
Everybody, for your listening pleasure, this is Glenn Scarpelli. Enjoy. Surprise you with that, and I loved it.
I remember it. Are you kidding? Don't be sorry. I love it. It was so much
and how
fun
many,
to hear after all this time.
How many times has he played it for you, John?
John, he went into the room. John,
yes.
She's asked you, how many times have I played that for you?
It doesn't have the full effect if he's not sitting on a doodle bug.
Oh, you reminded me of the Macy's Parade.
You know that was a parade joke, not a sexual joke, right?
Exactly. From the Macy's Parade. I remember it. Well, real quick, I know you want to eat. I know you want to eat. How did you wind up getting to do that song? Because that's originally Janet Jackson. So how did that come about?
Yes. Well, you know, I would say friends, acquaintances with Janet when she was on Different Strokes.
Yeah.
And she was also on Good Times prior to that.
Uh-huh.
And so through Norman Lear. And one day she just said, I have this song, I think, because I had mentioned that I had gotten a record deal. And she said, I have this song I think would be great for you. It didn't really do it for me. And she said, but I think it's vital and it's a wonderful song and I think you'd sound great singing it. And she gave me her record. I brought it to my producer, Paul Lecca, who is a wonderful producer. He actually wrote, Hey, Nana. Hey,
yeah.
Nah, kiss him goodbye.
Yeah.
Remember that song?
Yep.
And
yep.
That's who produced my record. I brought it to him, and he was like, oh, my God, this is fantastic. And I'll share with you, originally, my single from the album was called Get a Love On, which was chosen as the single. But then when I was booked on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, NBC and Macy's wouldn't let me sing Get a Love On, because it was too risque.
Yeah, for the kids.
So then CBS Records went, uh-oh, because then I also had gotten booked on American Bandstand, which was such an exciting thing for me. Oh, my God.
I remember
that. The Macy's Parade and American Bandstand was, like, crazy. I pinched myself that I was on those two shows.
I'm sorry. I'm cutting you off. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go.
No, go ahead. What are you going to ask?
I was going to ask you, why did you only do one album?
You know, it was shortly after that I wound up leaving the industry to be myself, to live my authentic life. I did the album when I was about 17. And that's what I mean. I was kind of riding high in those days. Like, you know, I made a conscious choice for my own sanity.
That's the best way to go out when you're on top, hon.
Yeah, that's true. And it was also a time when, like, I proved to myself that I had my priorities correct.
Right.
You know?
Have you ever thought about doing another album now, these days?
Hey, you know, I'm open to all things. I'm you know, now that I'm out here a lot, I'm getting the urge to throw my hat back in the ring.
Hey.
I don't know. We'll see.
Why not? I have one more quick question for you about Sedona, and I'm going to let you go eat. What are we eating anyway? What's for dinner?
I think he's made some eggplant, but I'm not allowed in the kitchen when he cooks because it's all always a surprise.
A surprise.
So I was not allowed in the kitchen. I'm just saying out loud.
It'll taste even better then. So my quick question for you, is there an actual performance center in Sedona, like where a stage setting? Is there one?
Well, yes, actually. And we've brought so many folks out to do – I did an evening
cool.
with Norman Lear that Mackenzie and I both moderated, which was incredible, an evening with Norman Lear in Sedona. And that is at the Sedona Performing Arts Center. We also brought out Peter Marshall. He did his one-man show when he was, 91 years old. And he was out there singing and telling stories and unbelievable.
Wow.
So, yeah, the Sedona Performing Arts Center is our main stage. It holds somewhere around 800 seats. And then there's the Mary Fisher Theater, which is a much smaller house. It's a 99-seater, which houses primarily – independent films because it's owned by the Sedona International Film Festival. So to see independent films all year round is such a joy in a town as big as Sedona. I think it's one of the jewels of what we actually offer in Sedona to be on that cutting edge. So those are the two stages.
Well, listen, I don't want to hold you up from dinner. It was a pleasure speaking with you, getting to know you, a pleasure meeting John as well. And I think we need to do a part two because I I have so much more to I just don't want to hang up.
Ah, thank you so much. Johnny just came back out, too, to say goodbye.
Thank you for having us, and especially Glenn, and thank you for bringing more attention to the museum squares because it was for a good cause. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Well, listen, when I come out to Sedona, I hope that you're in town, and I would love to bump into you.
Well, we will make that happen. How about that?
That sounds beautiful. Listen, you guys were wonderful. Glenn, you are an amazing talent. You have so much more in you. Go do it, man. Get it out. Get it out. Like you said, if you're getting that bug again, do it. If you're getting that bug, do it.
Thank you, sweetheart. You know I really appreciate that. We'll keep in touch. If anything happens, you'll be the first to know.
Oh, well, I would love that. Listen, thank you, everybody. Glenn Scarpelli and Johnny, what was your last name? Oh, my God.
Richie, R-I-C-C-I. We got two Italians here.
Oh, no, two Guidos in one house. My God.
Two Guidos in one room. In fact, our dog's name is Poco Italiano, the little Italian.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, ciao, Bellas. I love you. Thank you so very much. Everybody, Glenn Scarpelli, thank you so much for joining us on Applause Radio Show. Please come back anytime. And I am coming. We were just discussing going to Arizona tonight because my sister's out there. And I'm supposed to meet up, like I said, with everybody at the Hollywood Museum. So, oh, man, it would be an honor.
That would be wonderful. You keep in touch, and thank you for having me.
Lovely. Thank you, everybody. Glenn Scarpelli and Johnny Ritchie. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Enjoy that dinner.
You got it. Bye-bye, sweetheart.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Oh, boy. What a nice night I had. Oh, I needed that. I needed that. If you guys were listening last night, I don't know if you heard, we had Tony Basil. Oh, my God. Tony Basil from Mickey. We had Dale Bozzio on from Missing Persons. And I don't know what happened the last few days. I haven't been feeling so great. Something's going on. I don't know what. I feel better today, thank God. But right before the show, about an hour before, I had vomited. And I've been having some breathing issues the last few days since Sunday. And so I was... all of a sudden, before the show started, I couldn't catch my breath. And thank God Dale had to go, so because I really couldn't speak anymore, and I was struggling here. I don't have COVID. I just it was weird. I got a sharp pain in my chest, and it went away, thank God. I had it for like 3 days, and if it was the left side, I'd be in the ER, and you wouldn't have met Glenn tonight, but... anyway, it was the right side. Took 3 days. It went away, but the breathing was a little issue last night. But I'm so glad I had air in me tonight to speak to those wonderful gentlemen. And what a pleasure. And again, if you can get to Sedona, it is gorgeous. It really is. And again, you could also check online and go to his Sedona Now Network and just go to SedonaNow.com and you could see his shows where he is basically plugging Sedona, telling you about the beauty of it and all the great things to do. And it really is amazing. Oh, I did want to ask him. Oh, shoot. I know when I went there, they have these Jeep rides and they take you. I don't even know what it was. It was hell. I'll put it that way. It was hell. And I almost fell out of the damn thing. I mean, and they ride right along the side of the cliff, and it is scary as hell. But if you're an adventurer and you like that kind of shit, I didn't enjoy it. I mean, it was fun, but oh, my God, if I knew what it was going to be, I definitely would have said no. And when I almost fell out over the cliff, I'm like, God, I can't even tell you. Sedona is absolutely gorgeous. So go to SedonaNow.com. And in light of the celebration of the 75th anniversary of the game show, go to the StellarTickets.com/O/the-Hollywood-Museum. And it is the Hollywood Museum's fundraiser where they celebrated the game show. And they did five shows with celebrities, obviously, of Hollywood Squares. And it's all for charity, and it's $10 per show. The first show has great guests. They all have great guests. And it's the funny thing is that a lot of them have been on this show, which is pretty cool. So it's so funny that Glenn knows a lot of the people that I've met. So not funny for him, funny for me, because he's in the industry. He knows all these people. But, you know, it's a thrill for me. So there's show one is hosted by John Davidson. John's been on the show, and the celebrity panel was Bruce Valanche, who's been on the show, Barry Livingston, who's been on the show, Donna Mills, who I'd love to get on the show, Eileen Graff, who I think has been on my show, Judy Tenuta, as you know, has been on this show, Jim J. Bullock, I'd love to get him on, Gilbert Gottfried, Carolyn Hennessy, she's been here, Pertrie Hawkins-Bird from Judge Judy, he was recently on the second show, the second episode, is hosted by Tom Bergeron. You know who he is. He actually did host Hollywood Squares on TV, and he's from Dancing with the Stars, of course. I'd like to get him on here because I want to talk to him about that, why he's no longer on Dancing with the Stars, because, I mean, he's a staple there with that. So, again, Bruce Valanche, Lindsay Wagner, the bionic woman. Oh, man, I'd love to get her on. Anson Williams, who's been on. Allison A. Argram from Little House. She's been on our show. Kevin Spiridis has been on our show from the soap operas. Teresa Ganzel, Rich Little, who's been on the show. Rico Anderson. And then the third show is hosted by Mark Summers. He was the host of Double Dare. Remember that show on, was it Nickelodeon? I think it was Nickelodeon, was it? Mark Summers. I was a little older when that came out, so I didn't really watch it. I mean, I remember it was a slime and all that, but the celebrity panel on episode 3 is Lonnie Anderson, who I'm waiting to get on here, the fabulous Dee Wallace, who's been on the show several times. I love her. Consider Your Ass Kissed by Dee Wallace. It's the best ass kiss you'll ever get. Erin Murphy, as Glenn mentioned, was Tabitha. Jeremy Miller from Oh God, As Long As We Got Each Other. What song was that? What show was that with Alan Thicke? God, what was the name of that show? You know it. I know you know it. You're probably saying, Joe, it's this, it's this. Wesley Yore, Glenn Scarpelli is on the episode 3, show 3. Will Shiner, Lane Ballas, she's been on the show, and Harvey. And show number 4 is hosted by Pat Flynn, Finn, and she's from Shop Till You Drop, Joker's Wild, and The Big Spin. And no celebrity panel guests are Rich Little, Bruce Valanche, Allison Arngram, Ruta Lee, who's been on the show too, and oh no, Dee, Ruta, Ruta is Consider Your Ass Kissed, not Dee. Dee is our scream queen. Yes, my God, Dee Wallace. I apologize, folks. I got that twisted. Jesus, don't get it twisted, sister. Ruta Lee, don't consider your ass kissed. Ruta's my girl. And Joyce Boulafont, she's been on the show. Jerry Mathers, Loretta Swit, Jay Johnson, and Carolyn Hennessy. And then on show number 5 is hosted by Bruce Valanche. And Anson is a celebrity, Bob Bergen, Rodney Allen Rippey, Judy Norton, Robert Hayes, Lee Purcell, Kathy Garver, Kate Linder, and Hank Garrett. And several of those guys have been on the show as well here over at Applause Radio Show. So, oh boy, I enjoyed myself tonight. I needed that. I needed a good night. So again, thank you to Glenn Scarpelli and his love of his life, Johnny Ritchie, who is a producer of game shows and produced the Hollywood game show, the Hollywood Museum's Hollywood Squares. So go and check it out. $10 an episode. It's for charity, folks, and it's not that much money. And go again to www.stellartickets.com/o/the-hollywood-museum, and you could get the trailer, the teaser, on YouTube. I guess it just said I've got the link, so it doesn't tell me the actual name. So I would think just pop in Hollywood Museum, Hollywood Squares on YouTube, and I guess you could get the teaser there. So, and Danelle, who runs the Museum has been on the show too. She is another amazing. All my guests are amazing. They're just beautiful people, and I love them all. And Glenn, I am coming to see you when I come to Arizona. We were just discussing what to do for vacation, but we want to go in July, and it's too hot in July, so we're going to save that for when it's cold. So, but I have to get out there to see my sister and also my friends out in L.A. that want to visit me. I'm just hoping I can I'm up for the trip health-wise, so that's going to be great. That's going to be great. I'm anticipating that and excited. So I hope you guys had fun tonight. I love throwing that little shocker on him with the song tonight. Don't mess up a good thing. Back in the 80s, definitely, if you remember, he did the parade. I remember it, and I remember when he performed on American Bandstand. Tomorrow night, for my psychic friends who love psychic readings, we have the great Artie Hoffman. We're going to have an Artie party, and his books, Angels and Answers, and, you know, he also does free psychic readings on Facebook Live on Sundays. I believe it's every Sunday. Sometimes he'll let me know when they're on, and I let people know that they're on so that they could get free psychic readings, because everybody loves that, and I do too. I'm addicted to it. I'm addicted to watching my tarot readings on YouTube now. I can't get away from them. But join us tomorrow on the 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern for Mr. Artie Hoffman for an Artie party for free psychic readings. All you got to do is call in to 646-478-0999, and Artie will give you a free psychic reading, and everybody goes away happy. Trust me. He reads me too, and he's always been on the money. Always, always. He never fails. And then on the 20th, we've got Blanca Blanco, and we're going to talk about her new book. And on President's Day, we have the Reverend Sujay, and she has a new book out. We're going to talk to her. And then on the 23rd, we got Francesca Vega. We're going to have some new music from her. She's a singer-songwriter. And I think I'm going to take a break after that. Jesus, Christmas, right? Wow, back to back to back. So, and we're setting up for March. So I guarantee and I promise you I will bring you the best guests I can for you guys to enjoy yourselves and have a good time. And I can't thank you enough for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed yourselves again. And a pleasure, Glenn Scarpelli, to meet you. And I hope to bump into you in Sedona. I hope you guys have a good night. What is today? Wednesday. Weekend's coming. Should we play Weekend? What should we play? You know what? Why don't we play? I don't know. I don't want something mellow to close out with. Let's see. Oh, should we do it? Should we do it? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which one? Which one? Barracuda or Crazy on You? But I like Magic Man, too. Oh, boy, what do I feel like closing with? What's going to really... I don't know. All right, I'm just going to pick one. This is Heart by Heart, who was on with us on the 11th, I think it was. Was it the 11th? I think it was the 11th. Yes, Heart by Heart, Steve Fossen and Summer Masick, Heart by Heart. Check it out. Let's see what I hit. I don't know. Have a good night. See you tomorrow with Artie Hoffman, 9 p.m. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Glenn. Glenn Scarpelli and Johnny Ritchie. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye. Yeah.